Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
I am very aware that as pastor, there's a lot of responsibility of what comes out of my mouth, and I take that very serious. There are times that the Lord lays on my heart, times that we need correction as people, as a church. There are times we need edification, and all of that has to be in a good balance so that we grow in the kingdom of God. And this morning, I want to bring up a point that I think is very important for our church. As we look and we watch what's going on in America, there is no doubt that we got some problems. There's no doubt. No question about that. Daily, there's an attack on leadership. Daily, there's an attack going on God's people all across the world, but even here in America, it's happening. If you've watched the news in the last 2 weeks, the terrorist attacks, what's going on with the bombings, with people going in and shooting people, I am just, it's terrible. I'm just amazed and appalled at what I see. Today, I want to do something a little different. I want to draw the focus off of what is wrong and look at what is right in life. Now, most sermons, that they show what is wrong and what changes need to be made in your life. And let me say, that is needed. So please understand today, I'm not here to say that this sermon is the only sermon that needs to be taught in church, but this is one of them. Because there are a lot of wrongs, and I get that. And this is not a seeker-friendly message. I don't stand on this word only, but this is a part of the word. Sin is running rampant in our society, and there's a lot of messages on sin, and they are needed. They are needed. Sermons on repentance, needed. Sermons pointing out what is wrong in our lives are all very important. But today I want to ask you, what is right in your life? What is right in your life? What is it that you appreciate about life? Today I want to talk about appreciation. What is good in your life? You know, you can't watch news without seeing the bad. You just can't. News is bad because bad is still news. Now think about that. We're programmed. The only reason you report something is because it's rare. Really, you're wanting to, the wow factor. Have you ever been around somebody that's just always trying to get you to go, wow? Well, usually that will occur because they're talking about something that is rare. You talk about on the news, or you talk about the one bank that is robbed because it's rare for a bank to get robbed. That's what you talk about. There were hundreds that didn't get robbed. But we're going to talk about the one that did. A guy gets shot, or a lady gets shot, or a child gets shot. And that makes news, and we talk all about it. But daily we don't talk about the thousands that didn't. Thousands didn't get shot. See, you never hear the report of someone going into the mall and no one got shot. You hear about the one person that walked in the mall and had their phone. See, countless people, especially in this area, walk in and out of stores with a gun on a daily basis and no one gets shot. But because we keep hearing people walking in with a gun that shoots people up, we think we need to ban guns. But there's thousands that walk in every day with a gun and nobody gets shot. So I want to get us thinking today. One child, something bad happens to. But millions today, nothing bad happened to a child. I understand that we have got to understand as people that bad things do happen. Hurricanes and tornadoes do happen. Bad weather happens. I get that. And you're going to see the report of the one strip of houses that were ruined. I find myself after the storms turning on the TV the next morning really early because I want to see the damage. And they're going to find one tree that fell. I got a kick out of that last week. They found one tree that hit a side of a house. No one, thankfully, was hurt. Thousands didn't get hurt. But we're just going to say no one got hurt with this one tree. And so what we're always going to report on is the bad. You know, used to. Now, this is, I'm going back, and I used to make fun of people when they would talk like this, and now I'm one of them. But when I was a kid, the news was only on for 30 minutes. And of that 30 minutes, there was only 10 minutes of it that was bad. The other 20 minutes were commercials, weather, and sports. Now, the weather has kind of taken a turn. We're not ever going to have a half sunny day. You're going to have a half cloudy day. See, everything we're going to talk about is going to be from a negative perspective. And now we have 24-hour news channels. If you can turn on the news and you can watch for 24 hours, you don't have to watch 24. You watch for 30 minutes to an hour and you're going to hear the same story repeated over and over and over again because that's the only bad that they could find to report on. You're not going to find all the news of how great a day we had. And whoo, it was a great day here in America. You don't hear those words when you turn on the news. We just talk about how terrible life is based on the rarity of the things that happen. Now, I want to get our minds here because here's the problem. Unknowingly, not intentionally, we have programmed ourselves to talk only about what is wrong in life. Now, let that sink in because I'm just telling you, we have. We've programmed ourselves in our own lives to talk about what's wrong. Well, today I want to ask you what is right in your life. Let's work on reprogramming some things today. What is right in your life? I want you to start thinking about something that we haven't been programmed to think. What is well? How's it going? It is well. Is it? There's a point where you got to make yourself believe that because really, we're going to talk about that speeding ticket. We're going to talk about the one thing bad that happened, and we're going to forget all the things that are well in our life. And today, I want to encourage you. Well is a good thing, an adjective explaining something. It's a satisfactory condition, proper conditions. And that is what you were explaining. In my life, things are proper and they are good. Come on, I want some affirmation today. There is an important message today that needs to go out. The word appreciate. To recognize the quality, significance, or the magnitude of. To be thankful or to show gratitude. If you were to take a piece of paper out and you were to start writing all the bad that is going on in your life, it wouldn't take you very long to complete that list, really. You'd have two or three things that you'd write down because those are the things that your mind's on, and you'd get those written out. But if you really started thinking all that's right in your life, it's amazing how you just keep writing and keep writing and keep writing and keep writing. But we've programmed ourselves to put that stuff aside. Now, as a disclaimer this morning, let me say, I am not unaware of all the problems that are going on, even in our lives. I don't have my head stuck in the sand. I know that there are problems that we each face. But I want you to think about this. If you started making a list of what was right, your mind would get programmed a little different. And you get up every day and start writing, this is what's right. If you watch the news when you go to bed and you watch the news when you get up, it's hard to get out of bed and say it's going to be a great day because the news is programming us that it's going to be a horrible day, just waiting for the next disaster. Tim talked about something last Sunday. What a message on He is Real. He talked about the earth itself rotating at a perfect speed to keep all of life stabilized. And I just kept thinking about that all week, the weather patterns, the rain, the sun, at the perfect times for seasons to occur, where the sun's at and the tilt and all of the earth, everything happening just so you can breathe. And then you can even get more minute and you can talk about the cells and the neurons and the atoms, which I know nothing about, but everything is happening that allows you to take your next breath. Everything's set up for you right now to be able to operate and function. The lungs taking in oxygen, your hands. I mean, just look at your hands. Wow, God made these. It just, woo, you just start thinking about all the great things. But we're going to get caught up on that one ankle that's hurting a little bit this morning. And that's all we're going to talk about. How's it going? Oh, my ankle's being killing me. Do you realize what you just said? You're allowing the bad to kill you. I've tried to remove that vocabulary from what I say. How's it going, man? It's just killing me today. It's just, my back is killing. Really? You gonna let that back have that much power? That's good. Times are so bad. Times are so, here's the facts. The poorest of the poor in America have more than the middle class in Europe. America has trouble, but still it's the greatest place in the world to raise a family and enjoy life. There's not a doubt about it. What I'm telling you is this is the greatest time in the world to be alive. It's the greatest time. Almost every one of us in our cars have an automatic light turner on or offer. You don't even have to remember to turn your lights on or off. They just come on when they need to be, and they turn off when you don't. See, there used to be a day and time when you would go somewhere and you'd have to remember to bring your camera. You don't even have to, I mean, hi, what's going on? Hold on, let me get you a selfie here. Let me get you a picture of that. And it'll even tell everybody else where in the world you are when you take it. Because the GPS is built in there and it sends you to the space book and tells everybody what's happening. It's amazing to me. The greatest time in the world to be alive, what is right in your life? What's right? Now for the bad news of this sermon. Because we live in the greatest country in the world, because we can understand, after I've said a few things, how life is really great, we have let ourselves become spoiled, rotten brats. That's what's happened. And everybody thinks that we deserve things that we don't deserve. Be careful about talking about what you deserve. When I was young, I would start talking and complaining about how bad we had it and how so-and-so has it so good. Or if I was dumb enough to say, I am so bored. Those are words, if you've been around me much with young people, I don't handle those words very well because they weren't handled real well for me when I would say that. There is always something you can be doing. And if you can't learn to enjoy life where you're at and you're getting bored, it's because you have let your mind go to something negative. Bored only comes when your mind has shifted and put itself in a place where I'm not happy and I need someone to entertain me. Come on, you're not out looking for breadcrumbs on the street. And we're bored? We're spoiled brats. My dad said, I ought to take you out and bend you over my knee and wear you out. No, you shouldn't, Dad. You shouldn't do that. I'm happy as can be. See? No reason for that. We got a bunch of stuff. Why don't you go out to the tree and just get a switch off one of those trees and I'm going to show you how bad you got it. My dad would say things like that. Let me just show you how bad you got it. You getting ready to know how bad you... That. You ever heard that belt hit every loop? So I was taught, you want to continue to program yourself bad, and I'm going to give you something bad. Bad attracts bad. What are you attracting in your life? Is it really that bad? Come on, we're living a blessed life. Many of us need to be put across a knee and hear the belt loops hit and get a good whooping and say, hold on, it could be a lot worse. We've got some good things going on. Colossians 3:15, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace and always be thankful. Are you thankful today? Are you thankful today? Or is the short list of what's wrong in your life robbing you of enjoying life? So many not enjoying life. Their community, their family, their church, their kids, where you live, your friends, your relationship with the Lord, because something's always wrong. And that's what they deal with day in and day out. Your joy of living is continually robbed from you. I want to encourage you today. Thankfulness and joyfulness and appreciation for life can be a way of living when you get a hold of the Word of God. It can be a way of living. Ungrateful, spoiled, selfish, never satisfied is also a way of living. You choose. Even in church, the altar has become only a place where people come for problems, looking for answers to whatever it is that's troubling you. I loved worship this morning because it wasn't about the problems. It was about taking our mind eye off of what's going on and putting it on the one who gives us joy, gives us peace, gives us an appreciation. See, that's where we've got to get to. God can meet you and do a work at the altar. I'm not saying that he can't. Based on your problems, please hear me. But imagine if we would spend more time with the Lord, falling on our knees with an appreciation and a thankfulness for the abundant blessings we live in day in and day out. God, I'm so grateful for the life that I have, for the next breath that I'm breathing. There are things about my wife that can frustrate me, believe it or not. And I can sit here and dwell. Hey, trust me, she's got 10,000 more than I got. But let me just tell you how to have a great life. Major on the things that you appreciate about your spouse. We got a lot of people that just continue to have problems in marriage and what's going on. Well, that's because we've programmed ourselves to think about all the bad in our spouse. Program yourself to think about all the great things that they possess and who they are. I mean, my wife don't skip a beat on keeping our house where it needs to be. She doesn't skip a beat on food. And she goes, that's not my fault. Okay, you're right. I haven't learned portions yet. But understand that the idea of who my wife is, I can let my mind, just like I can anything else in this world, dwell on things that would frustrate me, or I can put my mind on the things that God has blessed me. And the way I do that is I say, thank you, God, for my wife. And then all of a sudden, he starts filling my mind. You ever notice when you're frustrated, mad, angry about something that's going on, you're in the middle of a bunch of frustration, how it's hard to say, God, thank you. I appreciate you. It's hard. And it's one of the tools of the devil in the society that we live in to dwell on the bad. Just get your Facebook out sometime and start reading the post. Count how many things on there are a blessing and how many things are talking about the negative things in life. How are we balancing what's going on? What are you feeding yourself day in and day out? Jesus said in John 16:33, and I've been talking about this on Wednesday nights, and Wednesday nights is the time for that teaching. Not this morning, but know this. Here on earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows, but you've got to understand and take heart. I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus said. And we have to live knowing that he has. He's overcame your back. He's overcome your health issues. He's overcome your marriage difficulties. He's overcome your financial situation. He has overcome, therefore we can live as overcomers. And we got to get that. What's going well in your life with your house, with your kids, with your car, with your peace, with your church, and your relationship with the Lord? Around your house. Come on, we've got a honey-do list. Everybody does. Men, you know what they are because they're mentioned all the time. But what about all the toilets that do work? It's not working. Well, we got three more. Praise God. We live in America. We got more than one. That wasn't for my wife. That was for somebody. Look at the clothes that are washed and clean. Well, I don't have anything to wear. Really? The wrong has our attention, don't it? Almost all the time. It's wearing us down. It's wearing us down. The bad is taking Christians out day in and day out. And I just want you to know this pastor cares. And I'm tired of the bad taking people out. And I want to give you some encouragement today that that doesn't have to happen. In this building, right here that you're sitting in today, the hours that were spent getting worship right today, getting this clean, there was a full wedding in here yesterday. And I mean decorations, tables, everywhere. But do you know we came in this morning? And some of you go, I didn't even know. Of course not, because a lot of people put their hand to the plow and made this happen. I got up and I'm walking down here at 6 o'clock this morning. Here's Dave Stone putting up chairs. Man, you're up here early. Well, I meant to be here earlier. That was his words. Like he's late at six. You got someone that cares. See, there's a lot of things going right. Someone stayed late last night and cleaned everything. Every week, the toilets are taken care of here. See, there's a lot of things going on here that nobody ever sees. You know, it just amazes me when you drive up on this property that all the grass just happened to get mowed. No, there are people that care about what's going on for others. And there's a lot of great, and we don't talk a lot about that. And I want to encourage you to start doing that. But we get caught up on the one word on the screen that they didn't spell right. Or for you English people, the little comma that was supposed to be there that wasn't. I faced this yesterday because I was the one that got to be the pastor. And Mary, the couple, I mean, do the official ceremony. That was the officiant. Is that what they call it? Thanks, Mel. And there was one thing that I said, and I thought, you shouldn't have said that. And if I wasn't careful, my mind would just live there. And as I was preparing, I thought, devil, you are not going to have victory. I'm a child of the King. And I do mess up. But he's going to protect me. He loves me. He knows my heart. And see, when you start thinking like that, you don't let the bad news of the day rule your mind. And we do. We can. We ask someone, how are you? Well, you better take a seat because they're getting ready to give their whole short list. We will talk about everything that is wrong instead of all the things that are well. And I want to encourage you today, there's a lot of well going on in your life. God, forgive us today for being spoiled, ungrateful brats. Because, I mean, that's where we are, and we got to watch ourselves. All four Gospels, Jesus giving thanks before breaking bread. We read about Jesus giving thanks. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. All right, that's my introduction. Now I'm getting ready to preach. I was hoping that everybody would be like, yeah, that's awesome, man. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation. A salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy, and through your belief in the truth, he called you to salvation when we told you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him won't perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. See, how can you have a bad day? How can you really have, Romans 8, turn over to Romans 8. Boy, the scripture, I love this. This is one of my favorite verses. I used to write Romans 8:28 on anything I would sign because I just love this. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who will love God, who are called according to his purpose for him. Keep reading. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his Son, so that his Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. Amen. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? Boy, I like that verse. Because there were times in my life that I had people that were always beating me down, and they were supposed to be for me, but I just felt beat down and beat down and beat down. And so I had a wrong view of God. And if you have a wrong view of God this morning, hear me. God's not beating you down with his fist. If God's for you, who can be against you? He's rooting you on with his fist. Come on, you can do this. That's what God is doing for you. Verse 32, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for me and for you. So that's what he's doing. Verse 35, can anything, Josh talked about this morning, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. And then he says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Come on, let that be an encouragement to you today. Verse 38, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell, praise God, can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in all the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I wrote, just to remind me, in my Bible, how can you ever have a bad day? Really, when you get your mind on the things of God, what can this world throw at you? Nothing. Nothing. Christians don't need to be wore down. You can have a great day. Colossians 2:13, you were dead because of your sins. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins, canceled the record of charges against us, and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Praise God. Boy, I've just messed up so bad. Did you hear that? He nailed it to the cross. Can we just for a moment look at what's well in our life? Spoiled means to damage as to become useless, to impair the enjoyment of. Don't be a spoiled Christian. So that, because I don't want you damaged and being useless. I want you being powerful. In the history of the world, it has never been easier to live than it is right now. Let's turn the focus off of what our difficulties are and look at what is right in our life. That's what we've got to do. There's got to be a life of appreciation. A joke that we have in our car when we're traveling around. My wife will just, we'll be driving, and I love it when she does this or one of the kids will do it, and now I do it. We kind of just, we're driving around and we'll see something, and my wife or one of the kids will say, appreciate. Appreciate. What are they talking about? There'll be something we're looking at, something that we're appreciate. That's not to say that we weren't, but all of a sudden we see something that we want everybody else to enjoy. Are you living a life that every once in a while you bring to everybody else's mind, there's an appreciation here? There's the opportunity right now to brag on something that's going on. But we take oftentimes a lot of things for granted. We don't appreciate what's going on. We don't appreciate the people in our life. We don't appreciate our teachers. Young people just mad at teachers all the time. Appreciate our teachers. Appreciate our workers. But we're going to find the one area that we're frustrated with them about. Learn to appreciate. Spoiled is keeping us from enjoying life. Appreciate. Start looking at something that you can appreciate. There is a list available. Let's not have a bunch of spoiled people in this church. We have to instill an attitude of appreciation. Now, we all have a few problems and a few frustrations, and I'm not saying that they're not there. But when's the last time you wrote a note to somebody and said, I appreciate you? When's the last time you came up to Melanie, one of the worship leaders that we have, and said, I appreciate what you do? So when's the last time you went up to the sound, I appreciate what you're doing? When's the last time that you told somebody, I appreciate, and find the area that you're appreciative of them in? Walking in every morning and seeing our parkers, our greeters, smiling, ready to help and assist, and what, appreciate what you do. At your work, not everybody is that bad. When's the last time you said, I appreciate what you do? Now, guys, I know that it's probably not appropriate to walk up. I just want to give you this little card. I get that. But, man, you're doing a great job today, and I appreciate you. That brings God on the scene in a way that a lot of things don't when you just talk about all that's not well. But there's a lot of things going on that are well. Now, I want you to understand, I'm not saying that because I need a card this morning. I'm not dealing with insecurities, and we're okay. I'm talking about in your life. Are you appreciative? Ending today, I was several years ago told of a story. And I understand that bad things in life can happen. I get that. But you can always find an opportunity to brag on the Lord in any situation you'll face. And no one got that more than Horatio Spafford. He lived from 1828 to 1888, and he was a wealthy Chicago lawyer. Some of you may have heard his story. He had a thriving legal practice, a beautiful home, a wife, four daughters, and a son. He was a devout Christian, a faithful student of the scriptures. His circle of friends included Dwight Moody, Ira Sankey, and various other well-known Christians of the day. At the very height of his financial and professional success, Horatio and his wife Anna suffered the tragic loss of their young son. Shortly thereafter, October 8th of 1871, the Great Chicago Fire destroyed almost every real estate investment that he and his wife had. That was tough. And they were dealing with that loss, and it was frustrating, and they did, you know, what do we do? And in 1873, Spafford decided to schedule a boat trip to Europe in order to give his wife and daughters a much-needed vacation and time to recover from the tragedy. He was going to come and join Moody and Sankey on an evangelistic campaign in England while spending some time with his family. And so Spafford and them were getting ready to go, and all of a sudden there were some things that came up in Chicago of some last-minute business. And so he sent his wife and four daughters on to go on this trip. Several days later, he received notice that his family's ship with wife and daughters had encountered a collision, and all four of his daughters drowned, and only his wife survived. And I think of this story, and I think the heavy heart. I mean, really, can what you're dealing with compare to this? He had lost his son, lost his real estate investments, and now he's lost all four of his daughters. With a heavy heart, Spafford boarded a boat that would take him to England to see his wife. And it was on that trip that it is written that he came across the area where the collision had occurred. And he was just out spending time with the Lord, and he penned some very famous words. These words were, "When sorrow like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul." And today I want to encourage you, even though storms of life, tragedies, things happen in life, and they do, I want you to understand that with the Lord, you can live well. In the middle of anything, there's reason to appreciate. There's reasons to say it is well, even when this world will throw frustration, trials your way. The words to this song have always ministered to me. And for those young people that are here, you may have never heard it. There's some newer versions of this out. But the old version goes, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials shall come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Listen to this. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not impart, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sighed. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Come on, can you sing that today? It is well, it is well with my soul. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.